Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. How are ya? This is episode number 87. And today, I always say it's going to be action-packed. It's a big show, but it is so much today because this is the prelude to the penitential season of Lent. We are so close and we want to be ready. And it's funny because as a mom of a son who now has a driver's permit, I can say firsthand, you just don't want to floor it and come from a dead stop and go 0 to 80. You want to ease in a little bit. And so that's what we want to do. We want to begin to walk towards the starting line for Lent and not just take off because we may not be prepared. We may run out of gas. So that's what today is all about as we prepare for Ash Wednesday, the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. And this is just part one as we do another show next week. So that's a fun little bonus. We're giving you an extra show this month. We're going to do part two as we really then do the second part of our preparation to get ready for the season, which means Father Nathan Cromley is going to join us. He'll be in the house. Our little Padre in your pocket feature is going to be activated once again, other than just Voxer. So I'll give you the scoop on that at the end of the program today. But also coming up on the show, a movie review, some terrific new books to tell you about, the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, where over 3,500 people recently gathered. It is the biggest conference of its kind in the country. If you went there, don't worry, because I just got an email from Dove. They are the vendors, the company that does all the audio for the event. And they said, we would love on your show to give away a complete CD set of all the talks. Isn't that fantastic? So you're going to have a chance to win that as well. We're going to hear some feedback from one of our listeners and a personal change. I feel like I've had some announcements the last couple shows. This is another one, kind of a big one, so I'll spill the beans on that as well. And it comes from going back to the 2017 goal that I had written down to be fully alive. As St. Irenaeus says, the joy of God is man fully alive. And we talked about that. Does that actually mean the beatific vision when we're in heaven? Either way, we want to live fully while we are alive. So this change stems from that. So we'll jump on in and get her done. Get started. And as we do, let's begin in prayer as we enter in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, today we invite you to purify our hearts, strengthen us in love. Help us to remember how much we need you, Lord, and that we are not alone and do not have to carry our burdens alone. Prepare us, God, each in the way you know we need to see you, to hear you in the crowd, to find you in the stillness. Help us unclutter our lives as to make room for you, Heavenly Father, and to use the time of Lent as a pilgrimage to the cross, Good Friday, New Life and Resurrection Sunday. Show us, Lord, what you would have us change and add so as to be grafted onto you and sealed into your heart. Amen.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said.
So last week on show number 86, it was called Nuclear Prayer, we talked a little bit about the movie Silence. I shared a trailer for that film. It's an Oscar-nominated movie directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Liam Neeson, and it's about a Jesuit priest, Father Ferreira, gone missing in Japan, but word is that he had apostatized, which is he was an apostate. He denied the faith, became Japanese, essentially, taking a Japanese name and a Buddhist and a wife. Well, the two Jesuit priests that were in charge of kind of finding out what happened to him, they couldn't have that. They didn't believe that. That is rumor. That's not true. So they were going to be sent in to Japan, a very hostile territory, to find out what really happened. And that's kind of the beginning plot of this story. The only problem is that it's a really tough movie to find. It's out in limited release. I had found it in Cleveland, but it was leaving the theater the next day. Michelle, though, did see it, and she was kind enough to leave us a review. So check it out. This is what she had to say about the movie.
Hi, Brooke. It's Michelle, your favorite person. your favorite Facebook fan and friend. I just heard your last show and you wanted to get reviews if we saw the movie Silence. And I did. And oh my gosh, Brooke, it was amazing. I highly recommend it to anyone to definitely rent once it gets out on DVD. It was so well done, but it just makes you think. It's gut-wrenching, very emotional, so be prepared for that. And it makes you think. I just thought Scorsese did a fantastic job. I didn't even know he directed it. I knew nothing about it. I had not read any reviews on it on purpose. I was just told it's about, you know, persecution in Japan by, from Christians. And just so well acted. Everything about it was fantastic. And funnily enough, that it was really interesting as I was walking the theater, who's there but Father Damien Ferentz, our local priest here that I'm sure you know. So that was, it was just funny. It was just full of Catholics. so it was great. And I'm sorry you couldn't get to the theater. I know it was limited release. But that's what happens, you know. Some of these, like the greatest movies, are in limited release. You got to get there when you can, before they go away. But then again, I just wanted to mention: try not to read any reviews if you have. Just trying to avoid them because all the reviews I read afterwards, they gave the entire movie away, and you have to hang in there until the very end. Oh my gosh, just so amazing. So definitely highly recommend Silence for sure. And also just wanted to say, I think it's great that you have recognized priorities and that you, as sad as I am to hear that you're coming down to one podcast a month, it's all right. It's totally understandable, you know, quality over quantity every time. So I just so much look forward to your podcast. I'm a big fan, as you know, and hopefully maybe someday I can come over and we can chat and we can do a podcast together and I can ramble on about all the interesting things that I find interesting in the Catholic world. All right. Thanks, Brooke. God bless you.
Okay, Michelle, thank you. And by the way, Michelle is actually a blogger at thejoyfulcelibate.com, which I highly recommend. Her story is fantastic. Her writing is beautiful. And yes, ma'am, we do need to connect. I do need to get you on the show. And so thank you. Thank you for that review. And a follow-up to that, we actually saw the movie. I was really surprised. I was putting show prep together for this episode, looking up to see when it would be out on DVD, and realized our dollar theater just down the road picked up the movie. So I took the kids, my husband, our three oldest boys, even though this film is rated R, and we decided to go. And the hard part is I can't really tell you. It's kind of like Michelle shared. You don't really want to reveal the entire ending of the story because it's just so interesting, powerful, unexpected perhaps, that it's hard that you would be mad at me if I said something. And so I did, Michelle. I refrained from reading too many reviews, but I did read Stephen Graydonis's review. He is at nationalcatholicregister.com, and what he said about this movie was that an atheist became a believer after watching this, someone that he had spoken to, and he said, yet for my part, it pushed me to the brink of my faith. So I went in a little bit uneasy. I forgot that Martin Scorsese was the guy behind The Last Temptation of Christ, that blasphemous, terrible film that I've actually never seen. It was before my time, but I knew about it. So going in just really unsure, but yet knowing I had heard the interview and the recommendation about this movie on EWTN. So for me, that's all I needed. And the fact that it was rated R was something new. We have never taken our kids, to my knowledge that I remember, to a rated R movie at the theater. And again, the boys that we took were 15, 13, and 10. But, you know, the Bible's not rated G. And this movie did not have any profanity. There was no sexuality, nothing like that. Even the violence, it wasn't gratuitous. So it was maybe along the Passion of the Christ. Although I would submit the Passion of the Christ may even be more graphic, although that could probably be debated or argued. And the hardest thing for me is to not be able to talk about how I felt. The entire theater left completely silent. That was apropos because no one spoke. We were speechless. And there was so much that I was processing. I had so many deep emotions. And I then felt initially, I wish that I would have known how it was going to end so that I would be able to better be prepared to have a conversation with my kids. But it did not matter. It didn't matter because what came forth from them was something that was really powerful and begins to just keep washing over me. Different elements of the movie. It's a long movie. It's almost 3 hours long. But if there's any possible way, I would say you need to get this movie. You need to watch the movie. It's going to be out on DVD in April. In the meantime, you can do a search for it. It's called Silence. And if question, though, is there ever a point that you would feel it would be okay to deny Christ? Ever? If your family in front of you was taken and they were going to be burned alive, would you ever, do you think Christ would ever say to you, it is okay, you can deny me to save your family? Because for me, that was the question that I keep coming back to. And I came away with a very clear answer that that is no. We know that's the story of the martyrs, all the martyrs from the catacombs through the early church across the world up until even now. And in the early church, the pagan time, saying, look, you just need to sprinkle a little incense on this altar here, worship the gods, denounce your Christianity, and we'll let you go. Otherwise, spin the wheel of torture and see what's going to happen. Of course, we wouldn't want that. But it's really good because you can't help but put the mirror back on yourself because we are so far removed, or at least so we think. It appears from a time that this and most of the world was set in, where you would be faced with that question, how far would you go for Christ? What would you do? And then you've got the characters of those who deny him, but then come back and ask for forgiveness, like Peter, and repent. And those who deny him and abandon him forever, like Judas. And those who never, never, never leave him, like John and Our Lady. So I mean, for me, this was a movie that just was filled with layers upon layers of things to meditate on and to ask myself some really pointed questions. And so I could devote easily the entire show, which is totally not fair because you don't know how it ends. And I hope that you can see it. But that's just a not so quick review of the movie Silence that I wanted to share with you. And again, it'll be out on DVD in April. And thank you again, Michelle, for your feedback.
Every fox a den, every bird a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to rest. Every heart a man, every king a throne, but the Word made flesh, no earthly home. Your burden's light and your yoke is easy. Your name is love and your grace is free. My heart was locked, but you had the key. Make your home in me. Make your home in me.
That's what it's about. Make your home in me. That's my friend Ben Walther, his wife Maria, a very dear friend to my heart, a book club sister, a prayer warrior, a pretty amazing wife and mom. And that song by Ben is all about Luke 9:58, the basis of that song. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So I know we talked about this going into Advent, but also for Lent, can Christ find a dwelling in your heart? Is it crowded in there? I have to look at myself with anger, insecurity, impatience, unforgiveness, all the things that take up room in my heart where he needs to come and heal and live and breathe new life. So I've been thinking about that a lot, spending a lot of time reflecting on that as we begin to approach Lent. Holy Father said the theme for this year's Lent is the Word is a gift, others are a gift. And we're going to unpack that a little bit and how we can take that as a challenge. So I found some beginning points. I'm not going to take a ton on this right now because, although I would like to, we're going to do this next week. And that's really going to be where we knock it out of the park, hopefully with Father Nathan Cromley at the bat, and be able to begin this Lenten journey fully prepared. And this is kind of just like a warm-up to get ready. But I found some really good tips on Creighton Online. It's a great resource. So first, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to define our patterns as we get into Lent and figure out, what do we want to break? What do we want to incorporate and add? It was funny because I was thinking about this Lent, and I had so many things to do when I was on my way back from Texas and stuff that I wanted to work on the plane, and everything just kind of faded away. And I thought, you know, it's so rare that I actually have an opportunity where my phone isn't working and I need to just stop and tune everything out. And I want to zero in on Lent. And then I started to get a little bit overwhelmed. I made this list of things I wanted to do, scriptures to memorize, go to adoration with the kids, get them journals so they can learn how to contemplate and Lectio Divina and sit still for a couple minutes, myself included in that. And I thought, we can't do it all, but it kind of reminds me, I think, of warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. And wherever you're going, an army or whatever branch of the military, they need the proper weapons. And sometimes we need the big guns. We need mass and to get together as a formal corporate body to receive the Eucharist. Other times it's like special ops missions, and we're just going in into the adoration chapel, like a recon mission, and hearing who God would bring forth on our hearts to pray for, or the rosary. There are certain missions in our life where some sacraments will do the trick, and we need to zero in on that. And of course, scripture. That's the biggest atomic bomb that we need to focus on. So that's where we're going to kind of begin is, of course, we know that we have all of these things that we can do, but what are we called specifically to do to grow deeper and to go deeper in our faith? So number one, this is from Creighton Online. It talks about identifying patterns, because we know insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So our Lord is calling us to a change of heart. That's what we hear Ash Wednesday, return to me with all your heart. So we need to change. And I'm going to be very honest with you right now. I knew a part of me really needed to change, and that one of those areas for me was my eating habits. And I kind of joke about my devotion to chocolate, but I'm very serious about that. My hips don't lie. I've gained about 20 pounds since I left my full-time job a couple of years ago. And I remember at the time thinking, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to sleep better. I'm going to be more focused. And on another episode, I can go deeper, I guess, into the patterns of the tendency maybe to self-indulge a little bit, or to justify and think, well, I'm busy, I'm running around, I'm just going to grab this. But how not only has that not really helped me, but it's been a bad example for my kids as well. Just not disciplined, constantly low energy, brain fog. So going back to the beginning of the show and talking about a life change that I've made, talking about breaking patterns and figuring out what cycle do we need to get out of if we're really going to change. For me, that was eating. So what I did for the first time ever is I joined Weight Watchers. And after going to a meeting and coming away so inspired and really seeing all sorts of people, shapes and sizes, ages, walks of life, I thought, this needs to be called Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself, because it's not about being skinny. It's not about being a size 2. It's really about watching your weight, making sure that you are checking yourself, watching that you're eating fruits and vegetables, and being a good steward to the one body that we have. Now, like a lot of women, I have tried just about everything. I've tried to exercise. I've tried shakes. I've tried juicing. And when I had my first baby, Gabriel, 15 years ago, I had gained almost 60 pounds. And working in radio was kind of a perk, because there was a weight loss company that asked me to endorse them. And that was, for me, the first time in my life that I lost weight, that I needed to lose weight, and that it was healthy and effective. But now, all these years later, we're coming around to that same fork in the road. I could go this way and just say, I'm going to keep going how I'm going, or I could choose to go a different road, to go a different path. So that's what I did. And again, for me, it's not about a size. I don't want to be a certain size. It would be nice, but that wasn't my main goal. My main goal is to be fully alive. I will need to care for my daughter for as long as I am alive, and my grandkids, I'm sure, and everything else that the Lord puts on my plate. And so I want to be strong. I want to be healthy, and I needed help, because as much as I would try to discipline myself with the chocolate or the portions, sometimes your vision is just off. We talked about that a little bit in the last podcast. You need to kind of reset and have new eyesight to really see what you're doing. And so Weight Watchers, I got to be honest, that has helped me so much. In 1 week, I've lost 5.2 pounds. And you know that 0.2 counts. That is a big deal. And it's really, it is a private thing. It's a personal thing, but I share it because I am excited and I believe in the potential of beginning again and also seeing the impact on my family. So we can talk about that. If you want to hear more about that, we can talk about that in the next episode. You can let me know, or the episode after that. But that for me is where we begin. When we talk about stopping automatic behaviors, what are your triggers for when you become angry or depressed, or things that you need to try to get in there and fix it and make new patterns so that we can name who we want to be in Christ and with Christ's help be molded into that. So that's number one, a really long number one. The second tip as we start Lent is begin to practice generosity. Almsgiving, of course, we know that's a big pillar of Lent. So generosity is not just giving away excess clothes or putting an extra couple dollars in the collection plate, although that's nice. But it is an attitude. So it's a sense that no matter how much I have, all that I have is a gift and can be given and shared. So we don't feel stingy about our gifts, but that we have an attitude of generosity. I really like that. Practicing penance. Penance is a remedy, a medicine, a spiritual healing, therapy. Don't look at penance as a punishment, but as a gift. So just a few as we warm up and stretch out and get ready for Lent that we can begin to think about as we get revved up for Ash Wednesday.
It's Brooks
House.
Ow. It's Brooks
House.
Okay, come on in. Today we're really busy here at Brooks' house. We had an egg bake for dinner with fruit and all the fixins. I had to call and make an appointment for my son Garrett's MRI. He is actually approaching the 5-year anniversary this summer of when he had a stroke at the age of 6 and miraculously recovered, virtually no after effects. But his brain shrunk a little bit, which, and I don't know if I shared this in another podcast, but I saw the image for the first time a couple of weeks ago and was aghast. But the neurologist said, I mean, it's amazing what the brain can do. He's fine. There's no after effects. But that was what I was working on today. Had to get the MRI scheduled so he can get a new brain scan. Also visited my daughter Carolina's school, where they are trialing a speech generating device as we continue to work for a way to unlock language, because we know it's inside of that beautiful brain of hers. So if you could, I'm asking, I guess, for a little prayer request there. Still in the process of bringing that out and unpacking from the weekend, I would say both literally and spiritually as well, from the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. It was incredible. And I'll just give you a quick lineup of the day. So Magnus McFarlane Barrow, who I had not heard of before I started to research this conference, was our first speaker. He's the founder of Mary's Meals. They feed over 1 million kids every day. And it started with just a conversation between him and his brother in a pub in Scotland where they live. It was really cool to hear because he sounds so like William Wallace. And I just kept picturing a horse coming out with Mel Gibson in the blue paint and the kilt. And then I felt it was inappropriate that I was thinking about that. But when you've seen so many movies, you just can't help but relate. And it was all, though, for the purpose of Mary's Meals. That's the name of his ministry. So we'll get into that more. But if you're looking for a great cause to donate this year for Lent, Mary's Meals is fantastic. So he was the first speaker. And then we had Father Matthias Thelen, who is off the charts, incredible. He grew up in a divorced family, kind of religious, not super, and went to Steubenville, where he had this profound transformation as he was before the Blessed Sacrament. He became a priest. Now he's a professor and he focuses on healing. So that, I just can't say enough, was extraordinary. Then Jeff Cavins, who is the author of numerous books, a Bible study. He has led over 50 pilgrimages to Israel. And frankly, he's really funny. He's such a good guy. If you are a longtime EWTN fan, listener, viewer, you will know that he also would fill in for Mother Angelica when she had her program. He danced with Mother Angelica. So his roots are deeply into the heart of the new evangelization. And then Carrie Caviezel, Jim Caviezel's wife, Although, interestingly enough, I wasn't allowed to say that. I guess there's a contract that I wasn't allowed to say that she's the wife of Jim Caviezel. I was the MC for the day, but what a beautiful heart, a spectacular woman of faith. And so I share that because we're giving away actually all of those speakers' talks in the program. All you need to do is email feedback@goodthingsradio.com if you want to win that whole set. In the meantime, though, Catherine, she's actually in RCA right now. She's coming to the Arise Retreat, and she was there. She's never been a part of an event like this, and I wanted to share her review. She was kind enough to take a minute and leave a Voxer, so check it out.
Brooke, hi, it's Catherine. I just wanted to call and give some feedback about the Catholic Women's Conference. I'm still here. It is Tuesday, and I'm still trying to catch my breath because it was such an awe-inspiring event for me. I have never attended anything quite like that. I've been, you know, I'm converting from the Protestant faith, and I've been to wonderful, wonderful retreats, but this was so powerful, just so powerful. Anyway, I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to go, and I had to thank you for letting us know about it. I not only benefited greatly from the worship through the Mass and Adoration, and the music of Taylor Tripodi. She was amazing. And the oboe and the angelic voices of the girls' choir, it was just all so, whew. I made several friends. I met some wonderful women who I think I will count it a privilege to remain friends with for a long, long time. The highlight of the conference for me, though, was Father Matthias Thelen. From such a young priest, spiritual director, professor. I've never heard such wisdom. His book on inner healing sold out before I had a chance to get to the book table, and now I cannot locate it, even when I did a Google search. So if you can point me in the right direction, what a gifted young priest he is. And then the other highlight for me was when Father Matthias led adoration. As somebody who's soon to be graduating from RCIA next month, as you know, I have never experienced adoration before. And I think I went through at least three Kleenexes, and I needed more. That's all I had left, because I have never been so moved or felt the presence of the Lord so palpably as I did during that hour. I loved that the entire conference was bookended by Mass and adoration, and that you were the voice that wove that whole conference together. It just, you know, it was just such a wonderful day. You were so radiant, and you set the tone for the entire conference by keeping the focus on the Holy Spirit, and you did an amazing job. I bought one of your beautiful aprons, finally, to serve as my mantle when I'm about my holy work in the kitchen. I don't know that my husband would call it that because he doesn't like my cooking, but whatever. And I also bought a bracelet for my sponsor. So thank you again. It was just a blessing, a blessing. Love you. Take care. Bye.
What to say, Catherine? What? I heard that message yesterday, and I had to stop what I was doing. I was so moved by her words and that experience. And there's some additional notes too. And I would just ask that you would keep Catherine's family in your prayers, because on the way home from that event, she received some news that providentially the Lord had prepared her in some ways to hear because of what she had gone through with the healing earlier that day. So I just ask that you keep her in your prayers as well. But thank you so much for that, Catherine. And as I mentioned, Dove, a company behind the audio, they're giving away those CDs. One more time, it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. If you're interested, send me an email. We will get those to you. We will draw a winner, and I'll announce it on the next podcast. So the Lent Part 2 podcast will announce that winner. And before we wrap up, a couple points, want to let you know that I revived my newsletter. Lent Part 1 already went out. So thank you to those who engaged with the newsletter, took the time to open and read it. There's more to come, but one of the things I wanted to mention is that in the newsletter, there are a bunch of things in there. There's a book that Father Matthias Thelen called, he said it was the best book on healing he had ever read. And I linked to that book in the newsletter, as well as just some good ideas, like a little prayer chain that you can print out, cut out, and it's got 40 days of just, you grab one link of the chain every day with your kids for 40 days, and you pray. One day it might be for police officers, another day it might be for orphans, and you get the idea. So there are some additional goodies in there. If you've not yet signed up to the newsletter, you can find the information on the show notes. You can also go to brooketaylor.us and click on the podcast link. A big, big thank you to my super producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. Thank you to Mark for his dynamic skills and quick work. If you're looking to start a podcast or need something recorded from an album to event, because he does it all, you can find out more at cumminghomestudio.com. Also, I cannot end the show without sharing an exciting discovery that I've recently made. It's my friend Timory, Timory Millington. You may know her. She's a fantastic, beautiful young lady from the inside out. She has a podcast called Hearts and Minds, and she took the time to just share a little plug of her podcast. If you're looking for another good new show to listen to, check it out.
This is Timory Millington with Hearts and Minds radio show and podcast produced by Catholic Answers. On Hearts and Minds, my co-host Trent Horn and I discuss some of the most relevant and hot-button topics of our culture. This includes topics like IVF, feminism, atheism, or some of the latest trending shows such as Gilmore Girls or The Crown. You can find us on iTunes or at Catholic.com under the radio tab.
Thank you, Timory. Again, it's called Hearts and Minds. You will love her. She's wonderful. Also a friend of Father Nathan Cromley's, who will be joining us again next week on the show with our Padre in Your Pocket Mega Monk feature. So he's going to be like our spiritual Yoda guiding us into the start of Lent. So make sure that you catch next week's episode as well. Until next time, friends, may we remember that what we possess could possess us if we are not careful, and that if we focus on the Word and on others as our Holy Father has asked us to this Lent, we will find Christ and be given the grace to see Him in all things. God bless you. Enjoy your week. Until next time.